This is the bugle sound that members of the elite British cavalry heard 150 years ago, just before the charge of the Light Brigade. It was during the Battle of Balaclava, the best-remembered episode of the Crimean War, forever captured in verse by Alfred, Lord Tennyson. On the 25th of October, 1854, more than 600 soldiers of the British Light Cavalry rode the length of a valley in the Crimea, bombarded by Russian artillery on the heights above. By the end of the day, more than 100 men and hundreds of horses had been killed, many more wounded. A French commander who witnessed the destruction said, "It is magnificent, but it is not war." Historian Terry Brighton is the author of Hell Riders, the true story of the charge of the Light Brigade. He joins us now from Sebastopol in the Crimea, about 5 miles away from where the charge of the Light Brigade occurred. Mr. Brighton, thanks very much for being with us.
It's a pleasure.
But why was there even a war? What was it about?
The Russian Empire was expanding rapidly. Tsar Nicholas I had built up the Black Sea Fleet, and it was thought in Britain that that fleet would threaten the supremacy of the Royal Navy on the seas. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the true reason for the war was that Tsar Nicholas wanted to expand the empire and the British wanted to destroy the Black Sea Fleet and its base at Sevastopol.
And to help us understand the significance of what happened 150 years ago.
It's important to realize that we are talking about a mile-long valley with the Russian cannons formed up at one end of the valley and the Light Brigade formed up at the other end. Russian cannons on the high ground to the right, Russian cannons on the high ground to the left. Not a single man of the Light Brigade expected to be ordered into that valley. But because of a mix-up of orders, that was exactly what happened.
Now, please explain to us that mix-up of orders.
Yes. Lord Raglan, commander of the British Army in the Crimea, was standing on high ground, and from his position, he could see Russian cavalry carrying away captured British guns from the high ground to the right. Mm-hmm. He sent an order down into the valley to the cavalry commander down there, Lord Lucan, ordering him to charge up onto the heights to the right and prevent the Russians carrying away the guns. What he failed to realize that was from the position of Lord Lucan down in the valley, it was impossible to see those Russians carrying away the guns. All the Lord Lucan could see was the enemy at the far end of the valley, and he mistakenly believed that that was the position he was ordered to charge. Therefore, he ordered the Light Brigade straight down the valley into the muzzles of the Russian guns.
Help us understand the British Army, and maybe perhaps any army at that time. Was it inconceivable that someone would have said, wait, there must be some mistake, he can't mean this?
It was absolutely inconceivable. Orders were orders, and even though the majority of the men realized that this was absolute madness, orders had to be followed. In fact, the commander of the Light Brigade, Lord Cardigan, when he was given the order to charge down the valley by Lord Lucan, protested that the order made no sense. With guns to the front, guns to the right, and guns to the left, it was quite clear he believed that the brigade would be wiped out. But the order was repeated, and once repeated, had to be obeyed.
We refer to this today as what amounted to a suicide mission, but I wonder, with the advantage of hindsight, was there nothing gained by the deaths of those men, if not a plot of ground, then at least maybe some time that allowed other forces to regroup?
There was certainly a psychological effect on the enemy. It was said that after the charge, the Russians too believed that the Light Brigade would be totally wiped out and were very severely shocked that the Light Brigade actually reached the guns, took the guns, and then pursued the Russian cavalry they found formed up behind the guns. William Russell, the war correspondent of the London Times, who witnessed the charge, wrote that for many months after the charge, it would have been impossible to make the Russian cavalry act with anything like confidence in the presence of a few squadrons of British cavalry. So there was certainly a serious psychological effect on the enemy. Mm.
You know, history tells us that in the Crimean War, there were sometimes fantastic losses on the battlefield. Why is it that this battle is so vivid in our memories and ones with a larger toll of death are almost lost to us?
I think there's a quite simple answer to that, and that is Alfred Tennyson, the poet laureate at the time, wrote the poem The Charge of the Light Brigade that caught the imagination of the British public and of people around the world. But It was not, by any means, his most important poem. In fact, Tennyson himself was, I think, a little bit embarrassed that it became his most well-known poem when he actually produced many more major works. But still today, we find that most people take their facts, their knowledge of the Charge of the Light Brigade from Tennyson rather than from the facts recorded at the time, so that most people believe that all or most of the men of the Light Brigade died in the charge, when in fact, as you reported, only 110 did die. I think Tennyson caught the rhythm of the charge, the constant beat of the hooves and the rhythmic boom of the guns, and at a time when many people, certainly in the UK, could not read, that spread by word of mouth and really caught the sense, the thrill and the horror of the charge, caught the imagination, and after that, the facts no longer mattered. The myth was more important.
Historian Terry Brighton, author of Hell's Riders, The True Story of the Charge of the Light Brigade, speaking to us from the Crimea. Very nice talking to you, sir.
Okay, pleasure.
Half a league, half a league, half a league onward, all in the valley of death, rode the 600. "Forward the Light Brigade, charge for the guns," he said. Into the Valley of Death rode the 600. "Forward the Light Brigade." Was there a man dismayed? Not though the soldier knew someone had blundered. Theirs not to make reply, theirs not to reason why, theirs but to do and die. Into the Valley of Death rode the 600. Cannon to the right of them, cannon to the left of them, cannon in front of them volleyed and thundered. Stormed at with shot and shell, boldly they rode and well, into the jaws of death, into the mouth of hell, rode the 600. Flashed all their sabres bare, flashed as they turned in air, sabring the gunners there, charging an army while all the world wondered. Plunged in the battery smoke, right through the line they broke, Cossack and Russian reeled from the sabre stroke, shattered and sundered. Then they rode back, but not the 600. Cannon to the right of them, cannon to the left of them, cannon behind them volleyed and thundered. Stormed at with shot and shell, while horse and hero fell, they that had fought so well came through the jaws of death, back from the mouth of hell, all that was left of them, left of 600. When can their glory fade? Oh, the wild charge they made! All the world wondered. Honour the charge they made. Honour the Light Brigade, noble 600.
Alfred Lord Tennyson's poem, The Charge of the Light Brigade, read by actor Michael Toledo. Now, one of the men at the head of those noble 600 was trumpeter Martin Landfried. Years after the battle, he made a recording in which he played the same bugle that he had sounded at Balaclava on the day of the charge, October 25th, 1854.
I am trumpeter Landfried, one of the surviving trumpeters in charge of the Light Brigade of Balaclava. I am now going to sound the bugle that was sounded at Waterloo and sound the charge as was sounded at Balaclava on that very same bugle. The 25th of October, 1854.
Record made at Edison House, Northumberland Avenue, London, August 2nd,
1890. The horn that led the Charge of the Light Brigade 150 years ago. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.